How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Devin the Bear. We're just going to go ahead and just brush up on last week's events. So we had the Makhachev versus Moises UFC fight night. It was a good fight. We saw some great performances from guys like Daniel Rodriguez, Rodolfo Vieira. We saw the return of Miocic Tate as well. Can't forget about Mateus Gamrot, though, with that quick submission he had over Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah, it was a really great night. Really fun fights. I don't think any of them were shocking or surprising in any way. I'd say the story of the whole night was the better man won, and that,
yeah, in that sense, for sure,
everyone knew who the better man was before the fight started.
Yeah, and one person I forgot to mention was Amanda Lemos. She was, yeah, she TKO'd Montserrat Ruiz in the first round, and like really quick, like it was 35 seconds in the first round, man, and it was a dirty TKO. But like you said, it kind of went as expected, but kind of where what led with the events, we saw Miocic Tate return from her retirement. She put on a great performance as well against Mariana Renau. Renau is now retired.
That
was a retirement fight, which, I mean, it's never a bad way to go out against somebody like Miocic Tate. And hopefully she enjoys her retired life now. She said she's not going to miss cutting weight, yeah, which I don't blame her. With that fight, though, with the events that kind of led after the fight, we saw Makhachev calling out everybody. I don't think he missed a name at all. And we saw him, he called out Conor McGregor, he called out Dustin Poirier, he called the champion Charles Oliveira. I don't think he mentioned Tony Ferguson. Well, he did mention Tony Ferguson. He said, and he also mentioned RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos. He said he wants to help Rafael Dos Anjos finally retire. He called out Michael Chandler as well. Him and Dan Hooker kind of had a back and forth. Dan Hooker said, you know, you're calling out all these guys, but you haven't mentioned my name. And as we know with Dan Hooker, his past 2 years, he's had some great fights with Paul Felder and with Dustin Poirier. Yeah. And so Makhachev's reasoning was like, well, you're 3 in your last 6. Like, why am I going to fight you? And Dan Hooker even said, I've been calling you out for a really long time now. Now that you've established yourself and you main event your first card, and now you don't want to fight me.
Yeah, I feel like the fight with him and Dan Hooker makes sense. If he wants to prove that he deserves the spot he was given in the top 5 rankings for lightweight, Dan Hooker's one of the best guys to prove that against. Because if Dan Hooker's the only guy not in the top 5 that I think could fit anywhere in, yep, those spots, but he's obviously not there for a reason. He's got a couple losses in a row, so makes sense. And he doesn't fight super often, so Dan Hooker needs a fight. Islam, yep, needs to prove he's a top 5 guy. I think that fight makes sense.
Yeah.
And his performance against Moises was very dominating, very quick.
Went about as he expected. 4 yeah, rounds of complete domination, and submitted a guy.
Yeah, soon as it went to the ground.
Yeah. It was just complete dominant. It was just bad. Like, this, yeah, is, somebody had asked me about what my thoughts on Islam were, and I've heard people pretty much compare him to is he's like Khabib, but he knows how to stand up. He has really good counter striking as well. Yeah. And so I know that Michael Chandler, when he called out Michael Chandler just said, hey, I'm trying to get back to the belt. Like, I can't fight backwards, if that's the, yeah, case. And then probably within a day, we saw Islam go up from, I think he was ranked number 10, all the way up to number 5 now. And so he's ranked in the top 5 lightweights in the world right now in the UFC, which, I mean, like you said before, is something that it makes sense. You know, look at what he's doing. He's only had 1 loss ever, and since then, nobody talks about that loss because of the performances he's putting on.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. The guys he passed up and replaced in the top 5 pretty much are guys who don't fight often or they are losing. So he's passing them up because he's winning and he's fighting often. So it makes sense. But like I said, you do kind of have to earn it. He's earned it, but you do kind of have to prove that you're worth being in the top five.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now you've jumped a bunch of guys to get there, but you got to at least beat one of them.
Yeah.
So you fight a fight with Dan Hooker makes sense to me because it puts Dan Hooker right back in the spot that he's basically already in.
Yeah, he's kind of at a stalemate right now, yeah, I feel like.
And then Islam shows, yeah, no, I am a top 5 guy for a reason. I just beat Dan Hooker. Give me guy ahead of me.
Yeah.
So I think that makes sense. As far as Miocic Tate goes, she said that she's here for the belt. She's not here for just a fight.
Yep.
So I think that's cool. She looked good in her fight, but Mariana Renau is not the champion.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's I think it was a good warm-up fight to see what she really had, and so it made sense for that to happen. It kind of sucked with Renal because, you know, she was on a four-fight skid, and she was in her this I think I want to say this was her fifth loss straight.
That was her fifth? Okay, I thought she was on a five-fight losing
streak. I might be wrong, but...
four or five.
Either way, you know, and she's also in her mid-40s, and so... Misha Tate, it was a smart fight for her to take for a comeback, yeah. You know. And then, well, one of the guys I was really impressed with was Rodolfo Vieira, former Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion. We saw him take on Anthony Hernandez, where he gassed out quick into the first round and then gets submitted in the second. And then this fight, he showed patience. He showed that he has pretty decent stand-up. They kind of talked a little bit about his mentality coming in. He
fought Dustin Stoltzfus.
Yeah, and it was a great fight.
He said a different name.
Did I?
Yeah.
His fight previous was against Alex. Anthony. Well, Fluffy Hernandez is who he fought.
Sorry, I was good.
No, you're good. And so it was a good back and forth fight, man. And he showed adversity. You could tell he was still kind of timid when he was in there. And I think him getting this win, and actually standing up, he won by standing rear naked choke. It was really impressive to see. There was a lot of respect also shared between the guys. So, I would like to see what's next for him as well. He's a fun fight to watch.
Yeah. And then pretty much the other fight that we haven't talked about yet is the Jeremy Stephens and Mateus Gamrot fight.
Yep.
Like you said, Mateus came in there and did his work. It was a real quick submission. Kimura, picture perfect Kimura. He got it in real quick, and Jeremy Stephens had no answer for it at all. So.
Yep. It was just, that's the only way to put it, really. I know that's. Gamrot does have quite the resume. He's another fighter. You should probably check into a lot of these guys who fought across the world are now coming into UFC having success. And I think Gamrot's going to be another one of those guys, just like Yuri Prochazka. I know it's a completely different weight class, but these guys are exciting fighters, so I'm excited to see what's next for him. He might get a quick turnaround. He didn't really take any damage in that fight. So, I mean...
Yeah, I could see him coming back pretty soon.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So I like to see him go against. I really would like to see him fight a top 10 guy with considering his resume. He's former world champ. You know, might as well go to give him a little bit of a push. I'm sure that's exactly what he wants to
fight. Colin Cater.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Jeremy Stephens went back to lightweight.
Oh, it was in lightweight.
Yep. I forgot this was his fight back in the division. And so, leading into the weekend though, coming up, we also have our buddy and a good friend. Pro boxer Carlos Navaga is going to be making his second bout of professional bout this weekend over in Texas City. And I know we actually watched today. We were just watching his post-fight interview. He was about a minute, 30 seconds. And I'm expecting another knockout by him, honestly.
Yeah. His plan is to be more explosive. That's what he said after his last knockout. So if he goes in there and is more explosive... man, I don't see how you stop him.
Yeah, it's crazy,
man. Because he was so patient and technical with how he approached his last knockout. Even when he had the guy hurt and up against the ropes, he picked his shots. He didn't just unload and go crazy. So you put explosive power on someone who is picking their shots properly, that's a scary thing.
Mix that with patience, and it's like he's so fast, man. And I don't know too much about the guy that he's fighting this weekend, but I'm expecting a quick stoppage as well. And I think he wants that as well to prove a point and go out there. And I know he had said he felt like he could have finished his first fight a little earlier, but he's like, I just wanted to keep calm and stay composed and just pick my shots and just go ahead and get that knockout. And so if you live in the Houston area, I would definitely recommend checking out his fight. It's going to be a really, really good fight. I know tickets are going for $75 an hour. I mean, $75 a ticket. And so... what's it called? I know that tickets are going for that much right now. I highly recommend checking it out, though. It's going to be a very fun fight. And if you've never been to a pro boxing event, also, I always recommend going and checking it out. I remember I was my first time ever attending it at his fight. And from all the way from the beginning of the card to his fight, man, dude, it was so much fun. I really had a great time.
It was really fun. The organization, Torinos, they really know how to put on a good show.
Yeah.
There's lots of different sponsors there. There's different merch you can buy. There was a sports memorabilia auction. So yeah, it'll be fun to see what's going on at this next event. Another event that's going to be going on is the next Fury card, which there's a lot of really fun and exciting local fighters that you should know about. Colton England is one of the main fights.
He's taking on Alec Williams,
which he just beat Alex Black in the Fury 46. Colton England won his fight on Fury 46, so it makes sense that they match up this time around. That one's going to be a fun one. I think both guys are going to really fight hard for it, and I don't see it going to decision.
I don't either. I think it's going to be a submission stoppage by somebody. I think you're going to see some very high-level jiu-jitsu going on, or it's going to be a battle of who has the better hands. So, also, this one's going to be taking place in Houston. Tickets are $50. If you want to go ahead and check that out. And also, if you decide to check this out, I do recommend whenever they have you pick a fighter, pick our buddy Jacob Silva. He's also fighting on the card, and he's taking on Randy Villarreal. And I'm expecting a very quick stoppage again by such a top tier fighter in Jacob Silva. We saw his last fight, finally got to see him live, and it's crazy how fast he is and how powerful he is at the same time.
Yeah, and the dude took an elbow straight to the face and kept going, didn't stop.
He was just like, who threw something at me? Who threw that piece of paper? I was like, what the fuck?
There's a lot of fights going on that card. That's going to be a big one. That's Fury 48 in Houston. Make sure to check that out. I feel like if that event doesn't get some UFC signings, I'm going to be disappointed.
Also, if you have UFC Fight Pass, it will be on UFC Fight Pass this Sunday. So I definitely recommend taking some time out of your day if you have nothing going on to go ahead and tune in and watch those fights. And so so that's going to lead us into the Saturday night's UFC's card. It's going to be Dillashaw versus Sanhagen. We know that Corey Sanhagen is on a tear right now. He's absolutely just fucking everybody up, honestly, in such like fascinating ways. He's coming off of that 30-second flying knee knockout over Frankie Edgar. Before that, he knocked out former title challenger Marlon Moraes with a spinning heel kick to pretty much the forehead. It was insane. Now we have TJ Dillashaw, former two-time UFC bantamweight champion, making his almost three-year layoff since his suspension from USADA. Now he's coming back and he's fighting a top tier guy. Winner is going to be getting a title shot. And so I'm excited for that fight, but let's go ahead and discuss that card a little bit before we get to that.
Yeah. So the opening fight for the main card is going to be Mickey Gall and Jordan Williams. Everyone knows Mickey Gall, the guy that fought CM Punk and Sage Northcutt and was just getting wins left and right. He beat Mike Perry.
Mm-hmm. No, he lost.
He fought Mike Perry recently. That was his last fight, I believe.
Yep.
So he's coming out on the main card for this fight, and it's hard to bet against him. Jordan Williams, pretty fresh face in the UFC. Not a lot to go off of, so I think he's going to have the experience. I think he should win this fight. I could see him winning it by submission.
So that's what I have to agree with that as well.
Yep.
And so what's up, man? You need some tired. What's that fucking call you some game fuel?
Mountain Dew.
We're not sponsored by them yet. What's it called? So leading into that though, with the main card, we also have Macy Barber taking on a Brandon Maverick in a women's flyweight fight, which I'm actually very excited for this fight.
I'm kind of torn on that one. Macy Barber's fun to watch, but Miranda Maverick made me a fan last fight.
Yeah, she threw down, man, and she's a grinder. And what's fun about it, what I really like is just with this card as well, is you're seeing a really good showcase of who's going to be the next prospect in each division, especially with these women's fights in the women's flyweight division. You have Miranda Maverick, who's kind of been a dark horse prospect. Some people know her, some people don't, but she goes out there and she throws down, dude, and she's a tough cookie, and she doesn't play any shit. And so you have Macy Barber, who's kind of still trying to get that hype back. She's currently on a two-fight skid right now, and she hasn't really been able to catch that same fire that she had since she tore her ACL in her fight against Roxanne Modafferi. And so what I like is that you have two prospects in the women's flyweight division. We're going to come in, and we're going to see who's going to be more of the face, who's going to be the one that's going to be moving up in the rankings to be fighting for the title eventually in the next couple of years.
Yeah. If Macy Barber's not the favorite to win that fight, I'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's definitely the fan favorite. She just has more of a fan base and familiarity with the fight fans so far. But I think if I had to choose, I think we go Miranda Maverick.
I believe so too. Yeah.
The way that Macy Barber looked before she injured her leg against Roxanne Modafferi, I don't think she was going to win that fight anyway.
Yeah.
And the way that Miranda Maverick fights, I feel like she's going to be able to handle Macy Barber. Unless Macy Barber comes in with some new tools, I feel like Miranda Maverick's going to win that fight.
Yeah, I believe Miranda Maverick takes this one as well, man. She's only 24 years old. She's young, but, I mean, it doesn't even seem like it. If you watch her fight, she shows a lot of technical abilities. She shows very good patience, but she also gets in your face.
Yeah.
And she just makes it a fight, but she makes it a really good technical fight. And I don't know if Macy Barber's going to be able to withstand the pressure that Miranda Maverick's going to be able to put on. So I know that on the Verdict app, Miranda Maverick is the favorite in this fight. She's the favorite, yeah. And so I think people are seeing that. It's like, okay, yeah, she's actually really good. And okay. So, but yeah, I'm going Miranda Maverick as well, though. I don't want to see Macy Barber lose. I would like to see her continue on this little hot streak that she had before her last two losses. But I think Miranda Maverick just kind of has her number.
The next fight is going to be Darren Elkins against Derek Minner. I feel like that fight's going to be very fun. I don't see it going to judges at all. I think if that fight doesn't just take place in either the center of the octagon or in the up against the cage, two guys beating each other up, I'd be surprised.
Yeah,
I feel like that fight's going to be a very dirty fight.
Darren doesn't fuck around, dude. Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight, honestly. Yeah. This is easily... Anytime I see Darren Elkins fight, I just know for sure it's probably going to be a fight in the night contender. He just throws down and...
The damage.
Yeah, the damage, that ugly-ass tattoo he has on his chest. But, yeah, man, it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a fun one. And I did want to touch up on the prelims real quick. We have Houston native Adrian Yanez taking on Randy Costa as well. I forgot to mention that whenever I brought up the card, but...
Me too.
Yeah, no, you're good. And so, but I just wanted to touch up on that real quick, man, because Adrian Yanez has such a great future in the UFC's bantamweight division, just in general when it comes to what he's doing. He shows so much, like, he has such a great fight IQ along with his technique and his speed and his power.
His speed and his power, I think, is what's going to carry him for a long time.
Yeah.
That dude is ridiculous. His hand speed is insane. His power is insane. But he's also got knockouts where he's kicking dude straight in the face and putting him down. It's freaking crazy. That guy is going to hit you with anything.
Yeah.
And he's going to pick when and how it happens.
Yeah. And what's nuts about him, too, is like we haven't even seen anybody try to take him down yet. And yeah. I'm positive he has high-level jiu-jitsu. I know for a fact that if somebody tries to take him down, he's going to be ready for it. And I don't see Randy Costa deciding to do that, though. I think it's going to be a stand-up brawl, not really, but a very technical one. You know, Randy Costa is a very good fighter as well, though. He's 6-1. All of his wins are by knockout. And so I think with Adrian, what it's going to have to be is just really – they're actually all first-round knockout, too. And so he's going against another young guy who wants it just as bad as he does. And we've seen Adrian with his opponents previously, I think he's the way that the UFC's pushing him, they're pushing him right. He's proving that, okay, I'm supposed to be here. I don't think at all that he's being protected. I think he's proving, himself slowly and surely. And with somebody like Randy Costa, it's a battle of two top prospects. And I think for Adrian, with as calm as patient he is, and he has a great chin. He got hit with a bunch of good shots in his last fight. Well, not a bunch, but he got hit with a couple good shots, and he was able to withstand the storm, and it looked like it didn't even faze him. And I think Adrian Yanez probably will take that one, probably by second round knockout.
Yeah. I could see it being first.
Yeah.
Same thing. I see Adrian Yanez winning the fight. Because I feel like he's going to go in there and push the pace. I would imagine he'd be the aggressor. So I feel like he's going to be in there since he's going to dictate. If he's the one dictating, then he's going to end up in that fight. And I feel like it's either going to be a first round knockout or a very fun fight that goes to decision. A lot like Dustin Poirier and Cub Swanson. I feel like it could be a lot like that fight.
So we're also going to find out which one's better, Reese's or Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't forget about that.
Good old sponsors.
And so, back to the main card though. So we have a bantamweight fight with Kyler Phillips and Raulian Paiva. Raulian Paiva.
Beats me.
there's an A after that. There's an I after that A. So I'm guessing that's how it's said. We'll find out Saturday how wrong I was. And so, Kyler Phillips, man, he's been around for a little while. He's in the top 15 in the bantamweight division. He has great wins over, Song Yadong, which is an easy fight to take.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a hard thing to do.
And so he went all three rounds with him. And so with Howland, how'd you say his name?
Give me 1 second.
Paiva. He doesn't have a nickname. I can't just call him.
That'll be Howlian Paiva.
And so we have him coming in, but I have a feeling Kyler is just going to take that one, though. I think with Hollyan, he has the experience, but Kyler, he's used to facing adversity. He's faced very tough opponents, and I think he's going to just end up taking that one.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. if it goes to the ground, we'll have to see what happens with, we'll have to see what Paiva can do. But I'm inclined to agree as far as the rest of the entirety of the fight. I feel like Skylar's going to hold it.
Yep. And so for the co-main event, we have another great women's showcase with, I almost said Macy Barber, with Aspen Ladd taking on Macy Kiasen. Yeah. So
that's going to be a really fun fight.
Yeah.
I feel like that fight... I'm a big fan of Aspen Ladd, but I'd say I'm more excited for the Macy Barber and Miranda Maverick fight.
Yeah.
This fight I think will be just as good. I guess I feel like Aspen Ladd's got this.
You feel like that?
Yeah.
I think Macy takes it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she goes in there and she's able to put on a really good striking showcase.
I think it all depends on what kind of weight cut Aspen Ladd has.
Yeah, that's the big thing too. She actually got suspended after her fight with Jorain Duranemi. Even though it only went like 18 seconds, she got suspended because she was, she weighed 18% over what she weighed in at for that fight. And so she fights at 135, and going into the next day for the fight, she weighed in at, she was 159 going into that fight. She put on 24 pounds going into that fight, and so the State Athletic Commission suspended her for that. Which I think it's kind of ridiculous to suspend somebody for that because fighters do it all the time.
Yeah, that's very surprising.
And so if that's the case, then why don't you get stricter about your weight cuts?
Yeah.
If you're going to really punish somebody for putting on extra weight to have that advantage. So why not suspend? Why not punish the people who practically kill themselves to have that advantage?
I wouldn't say punish. That seems a little harsh. I would say, why don't you care about them? And if you see that they're struggling that hard to make weight, why don't you suspend them?
Well, I mean, like, it's not like a fine, but like, you know, like when I say punishment, I mean like a suspension.
Yeah,
like,
I'm saying, hey, suspend them. Tell them, hey, we're not going to let you fight until you're healthy. And you can handle that.
Yeah.
If you can't handle it, you don't need to be doing this to yourself every time.
Look at somebody like Ryan Benoit. Like, he shouldn't even be fighting at 125 anymore. They do weigh down at 129, almost passed out on the scales.
Yeah.
Like, somebody like that, it's like, hey, why don't you give him a medical suspension? Instead of saying, like, hey, you're cheating, give them a medical suspension and say, hey, like, look, like, you need to take some time off. You need to really reconsider this weight class. And so we're going to suspend you for 3 to 6 months, depending on what your thoughts are.
And here's the thing about weight cuts. I understand that every weight cut is different.
Yeah.
Your body's going to be different for each and every weight cut because it's not the same body as the last weight cut. So I get that. But there's too many examples of people who handle it professionally every single time to let people who consistently miss weight or nearly pass out on the scales to let that keep happening.
Yeah.
There's just too many people who handle it well. And I think if Aspen Ladd has a good weight cut, she's fine.
Yeah.
But if she has a weight cut like she did against Jermaine, obviously she's in for a tough night.
Yeah, and then of course she gets knocked out in like 18 seconds after a tough weight cut. And it's like, well, because you're too fragile right now.
Yeah.
Your body's still recovering after that. But I think Macy's going to go out there. I think she's just going to be very technical. And I see her taking that by decision. Unless she has a tough weight cut, I'm going to actually tune into that so I know who to put my verdict points on. And so if she has a tough weight cut, I'm going by knockout, though. I think she's just going to learn that. I think she's going to find out that she's just, that weight cut's just not working for her. But look at what she's going to do, go up to 145. It's practically a dead division. Go to UFC.com and go to the rankings. Click on it. No one fucking pops up because there's nobody there.
Maybe she could be the next one.
Shit, Megan Anderson got cut.
She got cut?
Yeah, she's not with the UFC anymore after that fight. After she got beat by fucking, she got knocked out and submitted all in one night. By Amanda Nunes.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Was her contract up?
Possibly. But
if her contract wasn't up and she got cut, something else going on.
But I'm not sure what happened, but I know that she's not with the UFC anymore, though. And
she probably talked trash about the UFC.
Can you blame her?
No, but I'm talking about specifically the issue with Casey Kinney.
Oh, yeah.
And her calling out the UFC, like, I can't believe I work for a company that allows people to talk about their coworkers like this.
Oh, yeah, let's fucking get mad about that, but let's not get mad about Greg Hardy and Rachel Ostovich being on the same fucking card. You know who, you know about Rachel Ostovich?
Yes, right? But that's different. Neither of them made any comments about each other.
Yeah.
Greg Hardy has a spotty pass. Are you going to say, don't allow any fighters with a spotty pass to fight on a card? You're cutting out a lot of people.
Well, considering that he was actually guilty until she didn't show up to court, and so they appealed it, and
she didn't show up. Hey,
she didn't show.
I'm just kidding.
No, you
this is not something you should ever joke about. Look,
we're not joking about the situation. We're joking about her not showing up to court.
Are we?
I
don't know.
No, but you see my point, though.
I get your point, but I don't agree. I thought when Rachel Ostovich complained about that, I was like, okay, but
yeah.
If we're just going to hold everyone's past against them,
yeah.
No one's ever going to grow. Let the man try to grow.
Yeah.
Leave him alone for a second, and maybe you can figure that out.
He was a grown-ass man when he did that. He knew what he was doing. You know?
Yes, but that's not what I mean by growing. I mean, when someone makes a mistake, you got to let them learn from their mistake.
Yeah.
Everyone knows not to assault other people, regardless of gender.
Well, apparently, this 6'5" man doesn't know to, you know, beat up a woman, doesn't know not to beat up a woman and toss her.
Okay, what's the difference between Conor McGregor beating the crap out of an old man and Greg Hardy beating the crap out of a woman?
Oh, I don't.
There's no difference.
Well, that's what we even discussed, though, is like, I don't really like how the UFC has no fucking stance on what this guy does when it comes to Conor McGregor. But the shit they said in the fucking cage, and then he's posting pictures of killing fucking Dustin Poirier's daughter and shit. The UFC does nothing about it. Like, I don't agree with that shit.
It's all entertainment. But when Greg Hardy did it years ago, Rachel Ostovich has a problem with it.
Yeah.
I think we should all be able to talk about it. I don't think it should be something Greg Hardy wants it swept under the rug. It's not ever going to be swept under the rug, buddy. You hit a woman, you need to live with that because that's going to be who you are for kind of a long time.
Yeah, especially when you're as big, as well-known as he is.
Yeah, so consistently show that you're a different person and eventually it'll not go away. But eventually people will be like, you're better, but eh.
But I also think the Ostovich situation was very recent.
And that was awful.
Yeah.
I'm glad that she's out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she's doing great now. Now she's in bare knuckle boxing, about to fight Paige VanZant. But, and I bet you they paid a lot of money, so she's making money. Fuck it. But,
yeah. But, yeah. I don't even remember what we were talking about, man.
I don't know. Like, I see her, I saw her stance on it. Like, well, why
what
she
were we
would,
talking about?
I don't fucking know. We just kind of started, like, I don't know. It was too good of a debate to actually just stop.
Casey Kinney and Megan Anderson got cut.
Yeah.
Aspen Ladd needs to move up and be the new star in that division, or at the very least, the new top contender. That's what we were talking about. Aspen Ladd wins this fight, though.
You think?
Yeah, I said that already.
Yep. And so, what's called... What we were discussing about the whole Megan Anderson Casey Kinney situation, that's what started it.
And
I don't think it's why she got let go, but I don't disagree with what she really was, why she was upset. I mean, I feel like there should be fighters. I mean, you are a professional. You kind of
I don't think yourself. That she was let go because she had a problem with Casey Kinney saying that. I think she was let go because she probably talked a lot of crap about the UFC not doing anything about it, which They're contractors. They don't need to do anything about it. It's not their job.
Yeah, we'll...
There's a code of conduct, but I don't know. That's a topic for a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
Right now we're talking fights. Pure fights. All fights, nothing but fights. Let's talk fights.
Okay, Scarface.
What?
Isn't that what that fucking dude says in Street Beefs or some shit?
Oh, God. I don't know. Don't call me that.
I don't think that had anything to do with what happened. I think her contract ended. That's what it was. I just looked it up. So
it did end.
Okay. Yeah, she went 3-3 in the promotion.
She didn't get cut. She didn't get cut. Her contract expired.
Well, did you see what she said about the whole Casey Kinney thing? She was like, yes. I don't want this guy fighting on my card. Like, this isn't your fucking card. You realize that, right? Like, you're not headlining it.
I understand, but I also understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he made a sexual remark about women in general. He was talking about her.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was trying to hide it and say, oh, you know, there's a girl fighting on the card. She's whatever.
Yeah.
No, they called her out, and that's a little messed up. But anyway, main event, Corey Sandhagen, TJ Dillashaw. TJ Dillashaw has a lot to prove that he's the champion without juice. And he's going to have to come in there and have a tall order with Corey Sandhagen, who's 5'10", which is tall for that division.
5'11".
5'11", sorry, even taller. What a tall order.
Yeah. And who's TJ Dillashaw, who is like 5'6"?
Yeah. I think TJ Dillashaw is going to have to get Sandhagen worried about the strikes early on.
Yeah.
And then go use his wrestling, go back to his wrestling and get that takedown. Because if he tries to strike with Sandhagen the whole fight, he's going to get knocked out.
Yeah. I think when it comes down to it, if he was to start off fast paced with Sandhagen, I think it's the worst thing he can do with him, because the fact that Sandhagen is known for his quick knockouts, he has a, of course, Sandhagen has such a high fight IQ. It's insane how much he just understands the game. And when you watch him fight, like, who the fuck decides to throw a spinning heel kick like that against Marlon Moraes? Or the way he just could read Frankie Edgar's timing to jump up and throw a flying knee. That
was
really
his corner. That was his corner. Yeah. They drilled that. They told him, look for these movements. The second he sees, you see that movement, you throw that knee.
Yep.
They drilled that for a long time going into that fight. So he's got a great corner, but there's a lot of footage on TJ Dillashaw, but they've also trained together. So he's got a lot to look at with Dillashaw. So I think Dillashaw kind of can turn it the other way too, though, and say, yeah, but I know Corey's movements. I know I trained with him a lot for getting ready for Dominick Cruz.
It's funny because they even look like Corey Sandhagen and Dom Cruz.
I guess.
They look a lot.
If you give them black hair.
Yeah, yeah. Just says change that, and then they look exactly alike.
But I, like I said, I think if Dillashaw wants to win this, he's going to have to kind of keep his distance, show off some power, and then go for a takedown.
Yeah,
set he's up the takedown.
Go back to his roots, and because Corey Sandhagen, we've seen him before. Whenever he fought Aljamain Sterling, Aljamain literally just as soon as the fight started, went right at him and fucking took him straight down. And we saw that he didn't do very well against someone who's stronger than him. And I don't know if TJ Dillashaw is going to be stronger than him. I doubt that he is. But
TJ Dillashaw, when he was juicing, definitely stronger than Corey Sandhagen. He's
stronger than the whole fucking division. Like,
so
even the guy, he had the gyno nips to prove it. Like,
so I feel like it depends.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of TJ Dillashaw are we going to see?
Yeah, and so that's the big question, though, is, like, we know what we're going to see with Corey Sandhagen. We're going to see phenomenal striking. We're going to see high fight IQ. We're going to see something that he notices that he can just pick up on, you know? And with TJ Dillashaw, who he has a lot more to prove. I mean, everyone, he wants a title shot right off the bat, and that's why he's getting Corey Sandhagen, which I don't agree with. The whole division has changed. The landscape of the bantamweight division has changed since he's been gone.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one to pick. And he's trying to prove a point with it. He's saying, like, oh, I'm coming in here and I want the belt, so I'm not going to just pick some random tune-up fight. I want Corey Sandhagen because that's a big deal right now.
Yeah.
If I beat him, how are you going to deny me? And I get it. I think it's a good way to go about it, but you need to be ready for that, and that's a hard one to be ready for.
For sure. And but I have Sandhagen winning by knockout. I think he is going to know what to expect with TJ Dillashaw, and I think he's going to be fine for the title probably next year.
I feel the same way, but just make it interesting. TJ Dillashaw by decision.
By decision. And I hope if it goes to decision, it's going to be a fun fight.
Yeah. Or both guys will be too timid.
Yeah. I hope that's not the case, because I get really excited for these kinds of fights. And I'm like, man, fuck. Like, these are the fights you got to watch. And then, like, what was the last fight that we talked about that with? Rob Font and Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah.
It was, like, I was super excited for that fight. And being, I mean, it was a good technical breakdown by
Rob Font.
But, I mean, that was really it.
Yeah. I love fights, and I love I do not mind at all when one fighter goes in there and just crushes the other guy throughout 25 minutes. I think it's fun. I think it's cool to see one guy, how good they can be, how great they can look. I think it's cool. But there are some times where I just want to see a good fight between both guys.
Yeah.
And this should be one. So if we don't get that, I'm going to be a little disappointed. I feel like Dillashaw has the makings to put up for a fantastic opponent against Sanhagen.
What if he fucking pops?
It's the end of his career?
Yeah.
You don't come back from that? You don't get to just pop for steroids, again, be gone for 2 years, and then come back and pop for steroids?
Yeah.
He's not going to do that, though.
No. He knows better. He found out how to mask it. That's what it was. And so, man, that's going to be the story. It was TJ. How long was TJ on the juice now? Because you got his whole legacy is questioned now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I understand he's got a lot to come in here and prove. So you want Sanhagen. TJ Dillashaw has been training with some great people. He's been training with Raymond Daniels for a long time now. Mm-hmm. So I think he can handle Sanhagen.
The length
and the strikes, the versatility. I think he can handle it just fine. It's more of Sanhagen something else.
Yeah.
And he'll catch you when you need to be ready and you're not. He's good at that. So it'll be it should be a very interesting, very fun fight.
Yep, definitely looking forward to it.
All right, what else happened in the news? There were some matchups recently. Paddy Pimblett got a matchup. I don't know if we've talked about that yet.
Not yet, no.
He finally got a matchup. And I am blanking on who it was against. But he's very excited to get a fight. I'm very excited to get to see him fight in the UFC. It's Luigi Vendramini. I've never heard of that guy, but that'll be Paddy Pimblett's debut fight. That's something I'm definitely excited to look for. I look forward to it. It's going to be in September.
Oh, really? So it's going to be pretty soon. I know Volkan Ozdemir has a fight said.
Really? That'll be cool. When was the last time he fought?
It's been a while. I know it's been a little while. Last time he fought was when he fought Yuri.
That's what I was thinking, but I was like, dang, that was a long time ago. It's been about a year then.
Because he fought in 2020 then, so it's been about a year since he's been gone. I forgot who he's fighting.
Me?
Yeah, he's fighting Zach Poirier. Be sure to tune in.
Crazy. Oh, so, shit. I didn't even know. He didn't even tell me.
Yeah. Well, you need to get new management, man. Yeah. Speaking of new management, fuck Ali Delaziz messing with the lightweight division. Just kind of going back to that.
Yeah, he's a piece of crap. I do want to go back to the TJ Dillashaw versus Sanhagen. I want to change my prediction.
What to what?
I think we're gonna get. I think TJ Dillashaw gets the knockout.
Think he gets the knockout?
Yeah, dude.
That Bang Muay Thai, nothing to fuck around with, man.
He's gonna get the knockout. We're gonna get a sick, awesome new meme for Joe Rogan and his reaction to it.
Oh, which one is he gonna be like fucking drinking like a Stein size like cup of fucking donkey cum?
What?
Sorry, no. I just I've been fucking thrown off by this like for the past few days, and I don't know. I don't know how. No, fuck that. I'm explaining it. I don't know how this came about. So I found out how Fear Factor really got kicked off, and because they came made a comeback, and like apparently I'm fucking like the last to know about this shit. But he talked about it with Tom Segura. And so there was a horseshoe challenge, and whoever like tossed farthest away had to drink. And it was like the team's two people had to drink either fucking donkey semen or horse urine.
What?
Yeah, or donkey urine. And like it was like a fucking like dude, like you go to like a German style bar sized fucking thing of this shit. And you can look it up on YouTube. I swear to fucking God, they're really drinking this shit. But this was it was disgusting. I didn't even finish the video. It was fucking gross. And there's a lot of jokes made because there was like, it was a twins thing. And there was two women, like two groups of women. And they're both twins. And then there was a guy, one group of guys who were twins. And everyone was like, oh, well, we know who has the advantage here. And I was like, fuck, man.
Jeez.
I was like, people are disgusting. And but yeah, no, so they had to drink that shit. So that was so bad that it actually got kicked them off of national television, and which it rightfully fucking so. It was disgusting.
Man, I think I could have gone my whole life without knowing that.
Nah, fuck that. I have to live with this, so someone else has to as well. Yeah, I was hanging out playing fucking games with Kitty Jedi last night, and I brought it up, and they were like, yeah, no, I've known that.
I've never known that, so yeah. I guess we're just two morons in a pod.
Yeah, maybe we just don't look for shit. That's probably what it is.
Well,
we just,
we're busy watching fights.
Yeah, not watching people drink animal semen.
So. Yeah, man, your friends do what they want in their own free time.
Hey, no judgment here.
All right, well, yeah, that'll do it for this one. Lots of fun things to look forward to and to look back on, like the ending of Fear Factor.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on the Sanhagen Dillashaw card, and let us know if you're going to go watch Carlos Nava make his second pro fight, and let us know if you're going to be at the Fury 48 card. We'll be there. See you there.